Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you
notice? Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes, scores!
Yes, it's just
you're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a Raiders show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic, on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, whatever it is on social media. Go give them a follow.
TikTok.
Check out TikTok as well, you're right. I gotta keep remembering. All the youths are on the TikTok.
Yeah, now. you and your Addison Rae.
You keep
Rae
saying Addison Rae. I keep telling you, I don't even know who that is. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
check the history on that TikTok search.
I don't know who Addison Rae is, and it's concerning me that you do.
All right.
Okay. Zephyr Epic. Best part about Zephyr Epic, they ship free anywhere in Canada on any order over $50 from
former home of the Canucks development camp, Shawinigan Lake. If you remember that,
when did they go there?
Handful of years ago, when Brock Besser was there, Demko was there.
Really?
Shawinigan Lake down on Vancouver Island. Yeah, from Shawinigan Lake, and I know they got mailboxes there in Shawinigan Lake. So don't try and tell me the private dwelling people. Shawinigan Lake, nice little spot. They got mailboxes there from Shawinigan Lake to Shawinigan, Saskatchewan.
Ooh.
Which
home of Cole Lynn?
Home of Cole Lynn.
Sorry to steal your thunder.
Not even the biggest hockey player from Shawinigan as well.
Really?
No, not even close. Cole, you could say, listen, Cole is maybe, he's probably at the toes of this hockey player.
Okay.
Haley Wickenheiser, home of Haley Wickenheiser.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
I'll tell you, a lot more people know who Haley Wickenheiser is than Cole is.
Absolutely.
No offense to Cole.
Here's the thing about Shawinigan, though. They call it the Oasis of the Prairies quads. The Oasis of the Prairies, Shawinigan, Saskatchewan. It's down in the southwest of Saskatchewan, but people don't just call it that. This is the other nickname for the town. Boomtown.
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 And do you have a reason for that? Did you look it up?
No, but they do have, and this has been going on for over 100 years now, the Boomtown Days Rodeo in Shaunavon, oh, wow, Saskatchewan.
And what happens there?
Since 1914, the Boomtown Days Rodeo, it's a little preparation. It's on the circuit. I'm blanking on this right now. What's the Calgary, the Calgary Stampede? Okay. Oh yeah, well, I was thinking there was a name for it. The Calgary Stampede, this is like on the tour to kind of set them up for the Calgary Stampede down in Shaunavon, Saskatchewan. The Boomtown Days Rodeo. And one radio station down there in Shaunavon, the Eagle, 94.1 FM.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Tell you what, it's no Porcupine Plain, Saskatchewan.
Home of another hockey player, Callan Lind. As well.
Yeah, okay.
Keep an eye on him. He plays with our guest that we have on today's show, actually, as well, in Red Deer, Callan Lind. He's not the guest. Arshdeep Bains, Canucks prospect, who are really, really excited to see what he does at development camp and out there in Abbotsford this year. So he's going to have 30 people in the rink cheering for him. Maybe more. His grandma's going to be screaming on the couch as she's watching him online. But Arshdeep Bains is going to join us later on the show. Get to your DoorDash here.
Yeah. We're also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is Dave Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place, wearing a Canucks Convo polo shirt with our logo that actually never hit the air because I cut my hair. That rhymed. Chris Faber.
And you know what? You haven't said anything about my brand new shoes that I've been wearing today that I just got.
Oh, wow. Well, don't crease them. You can't crease those.
I don't know what I'm doing. These are they're nice shoes, I think.
When did you get those?
They came in the mail yesterday.
You creased them.
I don't know
what
that
means. Look at the crease. You can't bend your toes.
I can't bend my toes.
You gotta walk flat.
What are you talking about?
I'll teach you.
No, they're gonna be all right.
Okay, just don't.
I'm not a big high top guy. So yeah,
do you know what those are?
They look like the shoes that Michael Jordan wears. The Jordans.
Yeah, they're Jordan 1s.
Yeah.
How do you not know that?
I don't know.
You bought them.
I don't think they're like Jordan 1s, but
no, I think they're like Air Force 1s. Actually, yeah. I'm sorry, those are Air Force.
They're high top, so they're comfortable. I like the ankle support.
Your pant leg was covering where the Jordan logo would be, so I wasn't sure.
No, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Those are just Air Force 1s. Yeah, those are nice shoes, though.
They're comfortable. They got them.
Very nice.
Paid a pretty penny for them. I spent all that poker money that I talked about on the last show. Go. Spent all of it quicker than I got it. Literally, I spent it within like after like. Winning that money, it took me 7.5 hours to win the money. I spent more than I won within like 2.5 hours of getting home that night. I bought a laptop, which is coming today. Today's Friday as we're recording this. So we got to get, we always get the tweets. Don't rush Faber. Don't rush. I might be rushing a little bit here. I got my eye on the Amazon guy here. As soon as he delivers it, I'm gone.
You're gone.
You might be finishing this episode by yourself or something today, but...
You have a little announcement to make. Let's do that before we get to anything about the Canucks.
Sure. Yeah. This is I don't know what bittersweet's the right word, but
sweet.
It's sweet. after being with Sportsnet for I think almost a couple years, it's been about like maybe more. I don't know. The pandemic threw me up. I've either been there for 2.5 years or I've been there for 1.5 years. I think it's 1.5. But yeah, I'll be leaving Sportsnet. I put in my 2 weeks notice to. Leave Sportsnet 650. I think my last day will be like on the 17th or the 18th of June, probably doing some doing a Seas game, something I've been doing a lot of, and we're going to still have the show, I believe. I still need to get confirmation on that if we're going to do the show a couple more times, but the show is going to be over after I leave Sportsnet as well. That'll be not going on in the summertime anymore.
Hoping to get back in the season, though.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the fall. We'll circle back to them. But yeah, I'm going to be leaving Sportsnet 650, no longer producing or filling in hosting, any of that. So,
which I'm super excited about because that means that our work schedule is going to line up a little bit better.
Yes.
It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we already got to it. Like, we announced more on the Patreon. I'm sure people saw it on Twitter already, but patreon.com/CanucksConvo, $5 and $10 tier. Yeah, a lot of people heard that. $5 and $10 tier. Gets you all the bonus content, including that episode we did of Faber and Quads Shoot the Bleep, where we just talk non-hockey stuff. So the first 10 minutes of the show is basically extended. So if you like that kind of stuff, patreon.com/CanucksConvo. We talked about it more. We talked about the future of the show, which we're hoping to announce soon. We're not really sure when we're going to do it.
Well, if we're being honest, you and I went out and...
don't tell people what it's based on, but we did another video similar, not dissimilar, to the Castle Fun Park video we did with Harmon when we announced Harmon was joining the show. I get an idea in my head and we go film it.
I got a text from my girlfriend. She's like, how'd it go? How'd the recording go? And I was like, pretty good. I think it went really good. Then I thought back to the day where we did that recording with Harm, that video, which you can still see, I believe, up on the Canucks Combo account. And I remember finishing that and being so happy and being like, man, we nailed it. We nailed every scene. We nailed every line. Everything's going to come together nice. And then I edit it and I'm like, wow, this is horrible. This is like... like, I was thinking it was actually, like, a well-put-together video. It ends up being a comedy for how bad it was. I don't know if this one's going to be the same, but we'll see. But we've got an announcement video coming pretty soon here. And that'll come with the full announcement of what the future is and what I'll be doing with a lot more of my time after leaving Sportsnet.
Yeah.
So let's leave it at that. You can listen to Patreon if you want to hear everything right
there
now.
There you go. We're very excited. 10-minute mark is approaching, so it's time for us to talk Canucks. Chris, story of the day. What do you think it is? Because I'm a little torn. I got a few things written on the outline here that you actually prepared, throwback to the Sportsnet show. We've got a couple things because we've talked a lot about the Vancouver Canucks trading down from 15th overall in this draft, Chris, in order to pick up more picks, get more assets in general. But something interesting today that was discussed on the 32 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet came down the pipeline today that Juraj Slafkovský, who's supposed to go second overall in this draft, projected to go second overall, ranked first among European skaters by NHL Central Scouting.
Kid's unreal. He's so good.
6'4", left winger. Discussed, and this is from Slafkovský himself, discussed two teams that asked him if he could play center. Now, he said there were more than a few, but the ones he could remember off the top of his head were New Jersey, who that checks out. They have the second overall pick. And the Vancouver Canucks, who have the 15th overall pick. So, of course, this set Twitter ablaze. We wrote about it at Canucks Army, but I reached out to a league executive, similar to how I did with the JT Miller thing, trying to get a gauge on the trade market for Miller and that sort of thing. The response I got, because I texted and basically just said, like, hey, is it normal for a team that's drafting in the middle of the first round to interview a second overall pick? Especially asking if he can play center, because obviously the Canucks need a center, right? It's best player available. It's also maybe you fill a positional need, right? This is what I got back. Yes, just in case you trade up. You usually do quick meetings with the top 20 or so, and then some guys you think will be in the mix around the time of your second or third selection. Meeting with a number two projection doesn't necessarily mean they're trading up for that pick. It certainly could be that, but it could also be just normal due diligence. I kind of go to the second part of that, but it's also interesting that Slafkovský, when he was asked which teams asked him if he could play center, those are the two teams he picks out. Something tells me about that.
Those are the two teams that that Merrick could remember, too.
No, those are the two teams that Slafkovský could remember. They did an interview with him.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't just Merrick forgetting what Slafkovský said. Slafkovský said New Jersey and Vancouver were the two teams that he could remember.
Okay.
The fact that Vancouver stood out to him, I don't want to speculate too much, of course, because at the end of the day, I don't think it's likely that this guy's coming to Vancouver, that they're going to trade up for the second overall pick. That interview must have been a bit of a longer one. Would you not agree that if that's one that sticks out to him, it must have been a bit of a longer interview than normally you would have with a second overall pick? Again, that's speculation on my part.
Yeah, I mean, potentially. Maybe he just enjoyed that interview and it was one of the things that, you know, he kept a good memory of. So that's good to hear. And I think that knowing that that pick was sort of in play before the Devils didn't like completely win, but when they moved up in the draft lottery, like that pick was kind of in play, to think that could still be in play at the second overall. I mean, the door wouldn't be completely shut, I don't think. I think the Canucks have the right type of package to put together to move up from 15 to 2. I think they do. Like, they do have a right package. JT Miller is a player you can throw in the mix there and, you know, throw some pieces from either side to get that deal done. Like, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility, I don't think.
Another thing, and again, I mentioned this in the article that I wrote for CanucksArmy.com about this. Not only have the Devils been linked to JT Miller in the past, their general manager, Tom Fitzgerald, has put together a list of players and assets around the league for each team, or for multiple teams, that his club would be willing to move the second overall pick for if the Canucks are on that list, Chris, or among the teams on that list.
For a second, I thought this was like public and I just didn't know about this. This would have been wild if like what he would have accepted.
If he threw it out there.
Any team that wants to get the second, this is what you have to give to me.
Out a list. He's made team specific lists and it's internal. It's not, they're not sharing it, I don't think, with teams just yet. Maybe they have. That's not public knowledge. What is public knowledge is that this list does exist and that Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the Devils, has made the list with multiple teams and what they would be willing to get from those teams in order to move the second overall pick. And my point here, Chris, is that if the Canucks are on that list at all, and we don't know that they are, but you have to assume they are, Miller's name is there. Yeah. Almost for sure.
No, I can't see it not being there at all. Like that's absolutely for sure that it'll be there.
An hour ago, I couldn't spell this guy's name. Can you tell us a little bit about Slavkovsky? And we don't want to spend too much time on this because but he's likely not going to be a Canuck. What makes him so good? Because I looked at the point totals in the Liga, the top Finnish league. Not great. I think 10 points in 31 games was what I read.
Right. So just to watch him play it like against players his level is incredible. I think that he had a little bit of a slump when Kemmel was ripping up the Liga at the start of the year. That's another top Finnish draft pick. Like Slavkovsky was just still finding his way early on. He really turned it on, like kind of once he started getting a chance to play some of the U20 play that he was able to do, play at the Olympics and be one of the top scorers there. Like he just showed so well in a lot of the international competition that he played in. And I think like his tape is so good enough. Just like, yeah, he didn't light the league up and score, 30 goals. But for a player to come in and do that at like 17, 18 years old in Liga, it's still very impressive. He's a big body. He's strong. He skates well. He's got an excellent shot. Like there's a reason why he's going to be the second overall pick here. He's well deserving of that. Like the way that this draft tiers kind of go, it's Shane Wright, number one. He's in his own tier. Slavkovsky's in his own tier at number two. And then I think it's the two right shot defensemen after that. And then it kind of drops after those four. So, he secured himself into that spot, I guess, in a similar way to Kako as well. I feel like it's not like the exact like comparable. The players are pretty similar in a lot of ways. And actually kind of the way they're shaping out in the draft is like the same way that Kako did, where there was a dynamic player at number one in Jack Hughes. You kind of have that in the similar year this year, but you're feeling pretty confident that Slavkovsky is going to be at least low end of his potential, a middle six forward. He's a guy who should project to be, a top six guy and potentially a first line player, depending how he develops in the NHL. But there's no question about his size, no question about his skating, no question about his physical play, his shot. Like there's no question marks in his game really at all.
All right. Good to know. Likely not going to be a Canuck, but nonetheless, it's good to hear. Someone who will be a Canuck.
Get a little silly with it. Like, you trade the 15th, you trade JT Miller.
Okay. That's the wheels enough, turning here.
That feels like enough to get to second. Like, does New Jersey have to give back?
No. For a second overall pick? It's Miller for a second overall pick?
You're giving up a 15th and Miller.
Okay, then yeah, you have to give up. Yeah, New
You're
Jersey
getting
has to
more
add more
back, right?
Yes, New Jersey has I feel to add like, more.
What do we know about value? But I'd say like that.
Again, I could check with someone, but I don't want to trouble them too much since I've been doing that a lot lately.
Okay, fair enough. I just, maybe we'll touch on it down the road if there's
any more. That's down the road. We got about a month till the draft.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I think that.
Yeah.
I bet the Canucks had a nice little interview with the kid just to really dig into everything. Yeah. Maybe they asked him what kind of animal he was.
Explain that reference?
See this tweet going around? Was it him who said that he was a wolf?
I think it was him that said he was a wolf. So basically, the NHL teams have been asking players in their interview, it's a common question apparently, is what animal are you? And most say lion. And Slavkovsky said he was a wolf. We think it was Slavkovsky.
Yeah, I think it was.
What would you say?
You want to do each other? Which animal you think I would be? Which one I think you'd be? You can go first.
I don't know. Would I say lion?
For yourself?
Yeah, for myself.
What would you do? What would you say for me?
Gorilla.
Gorilla? Yeah.
And that's not supposed to be mean.
No,
I don't
it's
mean
not.
That in a mean way.
I mean this in the nicest way as well, because I don't know if you know how vicious these little things are, but a sea otter, you'd be a sea otter quad.
I could see that. I also can't
They're
swim
vicious.
Very well.
They're vicious. If you see them, they float together and they can.
You think I'm vicious?
Well, yeah, you're a little bit vicious.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think you'd be, imagine telling that to a GM. Like, what kind of animal do you think you are? And you're just like throwing off for a quick second, but then you're like, sea otter. I'm a sea otter. Or what if they're like, I'm a turtle? Like, what? That's such a weird question. Cause it's like,
such a dumb question.
Everyone's going to be like, I'm a lion. I'm a cheetah.
All the Asians are like, remember, you're a lion. You're a lion.
So, I don't know. I think that's...
All right. That's enough. Someone who will be with the Canucks, Chris. I was trying to get a little segue going for us. But Arshdeep Bains, join us on the show. We'll throw to that interview right now. On the other side, we have a topical poll question. And then we have a few other topics that we will talk about to close out the show. But for now, here is Surrey product and Vancouver Canucks member, Arshdeep Bains.
All right, guys. Joining us now, from just down the road in Surrey, born and raised, now a Vancouver Canuck prospect. We'll see him at development camp very soon here. You could see him last year, the Red Deer Rebels, ripping it up. And you can also see him at the top of the leaderboard for points as well in the WHL. It's Arshdeep Bains. Arshdeep, how are you doing, my friend?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited to get you on. Man, I got to wonder, like, what was it like for you just coming out of this WHL season and looking back now and being the leading scorer of the WHL? Does it kind of... Like, what's it like for you to kind of take that in?
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. I didn't expect this crazy of a season to happen, and all the stuff with the signing with the Canucks and being a leading scorer, just doing well with the team and having team success. It's been a great year, and I couldn't ask for a better season.
What was the biggest thing that led you to take this step in your career? Like, the point totals, you just pointed out you weren't expecting the season. What do you attribute that to? Like, what was the biggest thing that let you take this step?
I think, honestly, every year I thought I got better. I thought points-wise they were getting better every year. I kept getting better as a player. I don't think I took anything too dramatic this summer. I really just trusted my trainers and the Rebels and my teammates, and I think I really just pushed myself, and I think just this last summer and after COVID season and just pushing myself, I think I gave myself a good chance. We had a really good team, and they helped me out a lot. It was a lot of aspects, I think. It wasn't just one thing that really made the big difference, I'd say.
I think the one thing that we could definitely see from you putting up so many points is kind of just your hockey IQ and your hockey sense. Is that kind of developed throughout your time in the WHL? I mean, you know, you end up spending parts of five seasons there. I know there's, you know, COVID years and also that first year not spending a full season. But, like, did you kind of just develop a little bit more of a higher-end hockey sense as you're playing through the WHL?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the strongest parts of my game is just seeing the ice well, wanting to play with the puck and have fun on the ice. I think that's what I always kind of had growing up. I always was a smart, skilled player even when I was younger, but in the WHL, it's harder to do, and I was able to find my game and use that part of my game, and hopefully I can do that at the next level.
I got to ask, like, during that, you know, 112 points in 68 games, what was the best stretch of hockey for you? Like, what was the best 1 week? Do you remember just, like, having a week where you're like, I don't know if it's what I'm eating or what I'm doing, but just, like, having a ridiculous week of scoring?
Yeah, I think the first, right before Christmas, I'm not much of a scorer, but then I went on, like, an 8-game goal streak, and I was getting 2-3 points every night, and it was kind of just like ball was just kind of rolling. Like, I didn't really even think about points or anything like that or goal scoring. It kind of just was starting to come to me, and it was pretty fun, and the team was winning. And I think another time was when I think I had 4 points in just one period. That's probably the best, like, just the craziest thing. Like, I just felt like every shift I was going out there getting a chance to score, hit the post or scoring, and I got 4 in 1 period, 5 in the game. It was probably the best game of my career. So stuff like that was pretty cool to have. Is, you know, the WHL could be a really tough competitive league, and if you could do the stuff like that, it's pretty fun.
That's pretty awesome. It's like video game numbers, man. I feel like, you know, playing NHL at that point, you get 4 points in one period. That's wild, eh? You and I talked about this in the article I wrote for the Canucks was just, you know, kind of growing up a Canucks fan and how cool it was for you, you know, taking the SkyTrain in to watch some Canucks games. Maybe, maybe you could speak on that a little bit, because a lot of people listening to the show are probably in a similar situation as growing up a Canucks fan, whether it be the kids that, you know, were taking the SkyTrain to go to Canucks games and everything, or just living around Vancouver, whatever way they were doing it. Like, maybe you can just kind of let us know what it was like growing up a Canucks fan, and now to kind of get to this point of being in the organization. I imagine it's a pretty incredible moment for you and your family.
Yeah, like back, to touch back on the SkyTrain, it's kind of just like, it's almost kind of like a movie. Like everyone, you go onto the SkyTrain, it's not too packed when you first get on it from Surrey, which is probably the farthest point it starts. And then as you make your way down to Vancouver, everybody gets on. Canucks jerseys, it's so full in there. No one's sitting, everyone's standing. And you get to the rink and you come out of the SkyTrain, and it's just packed full of people trying to get into the arena. Like, it's just that everybody, like, just seeing that as a kid, I couldn't even imagine if I was playing in the building and just knowing that everyone's coming in, flooding in to watch you play, and all these fans and where they're coming from and just cheer you on. So that was a great memory, because I love going to the game with all the fans that go there, all happy to watch. And at school, everyone's wearing their Canucks jerseys and playoffs, and I don't know, it's just like the city loves Canucks. Like, even from Surrey, which is, I wouldn't say far, but it's a good 45 an hour away for some people, and they're still loving this team, and it's all over the Lower Mainland, so it's a big community all around cheering for one team, so it's really special.
Did you have a favorite player growing up?
My favorite player was probably Kessler, because I wore 17 all my childhood. I love the Sedins, love Bieksa, Burrows, Luongo was always great. I know they'd always say Lou in the building when he'd save the puck. So it's just stuff like that. And I just love the team. I was so young, I didn't have just one favorite player. I love the whole team, so there's a lot of great players.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Now, you mentioned the Sedins. How excited were you when you saw that they're going to be doing a lot of work out in Abbotsford this coming season?
Yeah, that's unreal. I think that's great for all the players in Abbotsford. That, like, these two legends that basically was not just the fans of the Vancouver Canucks, people that like them, but all over the NHL, everybody knew the Sedins, how great they are. They're one of the greatest players ever, and that they're going to come help out with the American League team and NHL and just be all over. It's just great for everybody, so it's super exciting.
So your general manager out there in Red Deer, Brent Sutter, had some pretty high praise for you when I spoke with him a couple months ago, just about your commitment to, you know, wanting to improve every single day. I know that's something that he said, it didn't just happen this year. It's been something that's been going on for 5 years under this program here. Is that now kind of just the goal for you, is to, you know, go from the WHL now to professional hockey and just see what you can do with these development coaches to get your game to, you know, yet another level as you kind of grow still here?
Yeah, Brent's one of the biggest mentors I have, and he taught me so much. I think just playing, I wasn't drafted to the Rebels, so I kind of just had to get my foot in the door and just try to make my way up, and I wasn't the best player to start with, so I really did take the full five years to develop, and I really owe it to them for giving me that chance and making me better. And I think the same thing with signing with the Canucks. I think just wanting to get better. I know I'm not there yet, but I'll keep going and see where I can take this.
I'm sure that, you know, every player that comes out of the CHL that wasn't drafted obviously wants to prove a point and, you know, prove that they can make an impact on an organization. But is there, like, extra motivation for you knowing that it is the Vancouver Canucks that you signed with?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody wants to kind of prove themselves and show why their team, like, give them a chance and prove them right. I think that still goes with me, and then it being my hometown team, there's a lot of people, all my friends and family, people that look up to me. It's an honor that I have to take with and have to basically just give me another reason to want to be better and kind of just make them proud.
And I know you've mentioned in the past to me that you have a huge family. Can you tell me who's the biggest Arshdeep Bains fan in your family?
Probably my grandma.
Yeah.
She always watches my games on the TV. She doesn't miss a game, and she's always there for me. She's always been there from the start. She's my number one fan, and that's an easy answer for me.
Is she loud? Is she loud in the crowd? Are we going to hear her out in Abbotsford this year?
No, you'll see her. I don't know if she'll be out there. She's pretty old now, so
yeah,
she just watches through the TV. So I'm proud, happy to have her.
That's awesome. And I know that something you mentioned was like you're expecting a huge amount of family members. Can you let us know kind of in the range of what you expect to see for that first game out there in Abbotsford?
First game in Abbotsford, I'd probably say at least 30 people for me.
It's not bad.
You never know, though. Might be more, yeah.
So how did it all come together? Like, how did you end up signing with the Canucks? Did you have other options? You know, what was the first call like? Who was it from? Just take us through that.
Yeah. I guess kind of just, I knew I was having a good year. I went back and forth with my agent. He kind of just lets me just do my job. He does his job. I know I don't want to be too worried about stuff that I can't control, so I know he was busy at work for me doing things like looking for teams and seeing other things, how they feel. And I know at the beginning of March there's new contracts, so that's when a lot of new players sign, and there were teams interested. I guess the Canucks, him and the Canucks were kind of working. They wanted to sign me for a bit. If you want to sign it, it doesn't happen right away. So it kind of took a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and we're able to figure it out. And right when I found out it was the Canucks were interested, it didn't even matter. I had to go with them, even if there was another team that wanted to sign me. I was going to choose the Canucks, and I know there was a little bit of interest, but I didn't wait on it. Just took my chance.
Yeah, it didn't really matter at that point once you knew the Vancouver Canucks were interested. Hey, that's awesome to hear, man, especially the local guy. And I think something, you know, the big step for you moving forward now is going to be development camp. And I've been talking to a lot of these draft picks and prospects of the Vancouver Canucks over the past couple months here. The big thing is, like, everybody's expecting the competition to be so high. Like, you know, bringing in players like yourself or Linus Karlsson from over in Sweden or Aiden McDonough from down in the States. You know, the Canucks haven't had a development camp for the past 2 years. What are you kind of expecting what you're going to see here in July at this development camp?
Yeah, I think it'll be good, competitive. I think just getting on the ice with each other, get to know each other a little bit, and just see where we're all at. And overall, kind of different ages, different ways, different sizes. But I think just getting on the ice, competing with each other, learning, and it should be fun, and it should be a great time.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see the Sedins be a big part of that as well. I know you kind of touched on it earlier, but to hear them, you know, being able to be a big part of Abbotsford, that's I don't know, to me, like, if I was in your spot, like, that must be really surreal, man, to think that you're going to be able to work with these guys. And now, you know, kind of sounds like they're going to be more on ice as well. Like, what do you think you can gain and take away from two players that were, you know, had obviously incredibly high hockey IQ? And that's something that I think your game is praised about quite a bit, is just, you know, being a guy who can think the game maybe one pass ahead. That was exactly what the Sedins did. So how excited are you to kind of pick their brain on that specific topic of just hockey IQ and what passes to make to set up scoring chances?
Yeah, exactly. When I looked up to them, I love the way they play, how smart they used each other on the ice. And I'd say I love watching them play, and I know that's kind of how I want to be. I want to be able to just think the game so well, see ahead before anybody else, know the play's going to happen. And anything they teach me, it's obviously I'm going to take it and run with it. They know so much, and I'm so excited that they are going to give us a chance to teach us. So I'm pumped. I know they know so much. They're super hardworking players, as I've heard, and so I'm really excited for what they have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering, like, now that you're making that jump to pro hockey, is there an area of your game that you think you need to take to the next level to be successful in the AHL and eventually the NHL?
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty smart player. I play with a little bit of skill, and I think just wanting to be able to skate and be able to skate with the next level, and being able to use my speed and just getting faster, I think, faster and stronger. I think I can play the smart. I can play the skill. I'm a good shot, but just getting quicker, being stronger, that'll be a big part of my next,
Absolutely. Okay, I got to ask, you know, since you're a local guy, there's a lot of people. We have a lot of listeners in Surrey and Vancouver area. Give me your favorite restaurant in Surrey, some spot that, you know, maybe the family likes to go out, and then maybe like a cafe type, like you bring the lady out to any cafes or anything, Arf?
Let me think here. Well, I only spend about like 3 months here. I'm in Red Deer most of the time. Where did I like going? That's a tough question. I usually don't go out too much, but.
Okay. You a homebody then? Like, do you have a meal that you're good at? Have you perfected anything? You're living on your, like, not really on your own, obviously with the billet, but do you ever like cook for the billet family or anything?
I'm kind of just a barbecue guy.
Okay.
I like going on barbecue, steak or chicken, stuff like that. That's what I like doing. But I can think of place I go out a lot for dinner. Even if I do, I'd probably just be like a cactus or brown, it's probably a bad answer, but it's kind of just chain restaurants. Yeah. That's what it is.
Keep it simple. We've heard that answer before, if we're being honest. So it doesn't surprise too much. Well, hey, Ars, really appreciate you taking the time today, man. We're excited to see you up at development camp and see where the season goes with you. I'm sure it's going to be pretty surreal for you, I'm sure, to put on that blue and green, and actually take the ice with Canucks instead of just wearing it as a fan like you did growing up. So we're excited to see the future with you, man, and we'll be following along for sure. So thanks for taking the time today to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, and a massive thank you to Arshdeep Baines for joining us on this episode. A lot of fun. And our poll question today, Chris, a very topical poll question, as I hinted at before we got to that interview. Our poll question brought to you by Atlas Goods. Go to atlasgds.com. Use promo code CC15 for 15% off your first order of Pop Rinds, the best fresh pork rind straight out of your microwave or air fryer. Chris, have you made the nachos
yet? No. People, they got to start bugging me on Twitter here. I'll remember to do it. If enough people start annoying me on Twitter saying, do the nachos, I'll do the nachos already. I keep getting busy every night here. I get home, I work all day long at 6:50, and then I get you freaking buzzing up my phone. Bzz, 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 need 3 articles today. Bzz, 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 tell Ray about Quinn Hughes. That's all I get from every night I'm dealing with. I don't have time to make pork rind nachos.
We'll get to your Hughes article soon. It was a really good read. Yeah. I'm excited about it. But okay, our poll question today, again, brought to you by Atlas Goods, atlasgds.com, promo code CC15, locally owned company in Surrey. The pork rinds are fantastic, so go check them out.
Wonder if Arshdeep, he's Surrey boy himself.
Might have to send him some. Yep. Might have to send him some. Official partner of Atlas Goods, Arshdeep Baines. That'd be something. Okay, our poll question today, which prospect will have the most goals in the AHL next season? Arshdeep Baines, Linus Karlsson, Danila Klimovic, and as always, I'm angry. Chris, so far, Linus Karlsson leading with 39% of the vote, followed by Danila Klimovic at 26%, and right behind him at 24% is Surrey product and guest of the show, friend of the show now, I'd say, Arshdeep Baines, and 11% of people say they are angry. Where do you vote on this, Chris? Because I know we briefly talked about it beforehand and before we started the show today. I'm leaning toward Danila Klimovic, personally.
Really?
I am. And the reason, Chris, is that, look, I know the kid's only going to be 19, 20 years old in next season, and he was only 18 this year. But one has to assume that for Danila Klimovic, this year was about learning, right? And you learn a lot when you come to the AHL for the first year. Like, this was his first year in North America, first year in pro hockey. Usually we see a bump. Right? A bump in production. And I think you want to see Danila Klimovic take that next step. If he doesn't, it's an indictment on the Canucks development program, is it not? You need to have Danila Klimovic take that next step. So the way I look at it is I say, okay, Linus Karlsson's coming from pro hockey in the SHL, but it's a different game. It's a different game than it is here, right? And again, I know we've seen Nils Höglander have that seamless transition. Obviously had a little more trouble in his sophomore year, but Elias Pettersson, all these guys, I get it. But when I look at Linus Karlsson, I think there's going to be a learning curve, and I think the same is going to be said for Arshdeep Baines, right? Overage player in the WHL, does great, and again, is going to be in good hands, like we talked about in that interview with the Citizens, with the Canucks' new development staff. We both think that he's going to be in good hands with the Canucks. We think he's going to take that step, but I don't think the guy who's coming in, and again, a second-round pick, we're comparing a second-round pick to a third-round pick that wasn't even on the past management regime's radar very much when he was a prospect, and a guy who went undrafted and was signed as an overage player from the WHL. We're comparing that to an early second-round pick who is known for his scoring ability, right? That's what we're comparing here. I think you are going to see Danila Klimovic take a step next year. I think, despite him coming in second on this poll, my vote goes to Danila Klimovic. I think he's going to take a step next year, and I think we're going to see Arshdeep Baines and Linus Karlsson be in that spot that Klimovich was in his first year in the AHL.
Man, yeah, I think the thing about just looking at the scoring like last year in the AHL for Danila Klimovich was that like he was able to come in and, you know, contribute offensively, I think, in his rookie season, which was great. The biggest thing that hurt his year to me was consistency, and that's something that's going to be hard to work on, but still the guy ends up scoring, you know, 8 goals in the AHL. Hey, listen, that's 8 more goals than like what you're saying, Archie Baines and Linus Karlsson scored last year in the AHL. But when I watch shift by shift play of Linus Karlsson and I watch shift by shift play of Danila Klimovich, there is so much more consistency in Linus Karlsson's ability to shoot the puck than there is in Klimovich's game. Not only in shooting the puck, but carrying the puck, not giving up the puck, not turning over the puck when you're in the offensive zone. There's such a higher level of consistency in Karlsson's game that I think he has to be the one that you pick for this poll. And I'm pretty confident in that because I think I can 100% see Linus Karlsson on day one out in Abbotsford being on the first power play unit. I don't see that happening for Danila Klimovich on day one. I don't see him being on the first power play unit, especially if they're going to bring back, you know, I heard Rick Dhaliwal talking about it, Sheldon Rempel being a guy that they want to bring back, Sheldon Dries being someone they want to bring back. Those guys are going to be back on PP1. If there's one prospect that's going to get a chance on PP1 next year, to me, like, well, Jack Rathbun, if he's there, he's there for sure. So he's, you know, I should say two prospects, I guess. But Linus Karlsson, for me, gets that spot very easily over Danila Klimovich because of the consistency that Klimovich showed last year. And let's not forget, like, Klimovich had a very good training camp, right? Like, there was time, like, remember that one scrimmage? Everyone comes out of that scrimmage and is like, Klimovich, he's playing in the NHL next year. You got all the Abbotsford fans thinking he should be in the NHL. But here's the other thing. This is the funny part. All those people that were out there in Abbotsford watching training camp, they were also the same people that saw him play throughout the year. And the hype around that one scrimmage about Danila Klimovich has for some reason sold a portion of Canucks fans to think that he's an NHL player like next year and he's going to get his chance. Call him up. He's going to boost the power play. But the thing is, everyone that was out there at training camp got to see him throughout the season and was like, oh, no, never mind. Like, he's very far away from being an NHL player. He's got a lot of things to work on in his own realm. And I actually saw Klimovich the other day. He's walking down the street, by the way. Did I tell you this?
No, you didn't.
No, I saw Klimovich coming down with some groceries the other day, walking into his building. Lives pretty close to me down there by Rogers Arena.
Didn't go back home, eh?
No, he's staying. Him and his wife are here, and actually just saw a little video of him taking some shots and a little...
Oh, that's right. His agent came on the show and told us he was staying.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, we'll get him on the show here soon. We'll see. I'm gonna see if Klimovich, how his English has done and improved.
You know, I saw Pod Colson walking toward the building as well. Pod Colson shops at TNT Supermarket.
Well, this must have been a while ago.
It was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, yeah, it was a while ago. It was like September. I think I actually told this story on the podcast.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's good. TNT's the spot, man. That's right down the road there. But yeah, I don't think that the consistency is going to be fixed in this offseason for Klimovich. I think he's going to need to play more games to build it up. And I just feel so much more confident in the consistent shots that Linus Karlsson gets off, that he's going to be a guy who gets an opportunity to be on that first power play unit. He's going to be a trigger man on that first power play unit. And he'll be a guy who leads this team. I can see Linus Karlsson scoring, you know, 14 to 25 goals next year if everything works out and he makes a smooth transition. Because that's the thing about Karlsson. It's like he's had to change leagues over the past 3 years now. It's going to be, you know, this year he's going to be making an adjustment to the AHL. Last year he made an adjustment to the SHL. The year before that he's making the adjustment to the Allsvenskan. This dude has had to play through some very different leagues and very different types of hockey. I don't think that's going to affect him that much. I think he's going to come in and do what he does well. And I think what he does well is going to, you know, even though I'm saying this too much, that's going to do well in the AHL as well. Like, you're going to see Karlsson, I think, be an impact player. And looking at the three players, I'll be interested to see what, like, the two-way game is of Archie Baines. Like, if we're looking at this poll question and saying, who makes the most night-to-night impact in the AHL? I'm really curious to see what Baines looks like, man. Like, I am very curious to see what he looks like. He obviously made a huge impact at the WHL levels, but we'll have to see if Karlsson's scoring and what he does at a high level is so good in the AHL that you have to start to think about him being an NHL talent, which all the prospect people are hoping happens with Linus Karlsson. It's still kind of a long shot. He's got to prove himself one more time in the AHL, but really excited to see all three of these players. And I do hope, like, I'm with you, Quads. Like, I'd love to see Klimovich take that step and be something more impactful. I'm just, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting on Carlson being the goal scoring leader here.
Do you want to bet? I'm just joking.
Sure.
No, we always make these bets and then forget about them. Didn't we have? Yeah, I lost that bet, the Ulevi bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if you've been listening for a while, you remember the bet we made in training camp was that if Ulevi goes through waivers, he's not getting claimed. And, you know, I said, look, teams are going to be giving up on this guy around the league, right? Not Stevie Y. And someone.
The best great talent part, evaluator,
the,
too.
The best part about that, and I know Ulevi, you know, sucked, and he's not going to be in the NHL
he's
anymore.
He's still got a chance. We'll see what happens here. I got all those rookie cards.
League. He's in the Finnish league now.
I got those rookie
he's
cards.
He's literally out of the NHL now. He's not playing in the NHL.
Did he actually go to Finland?
He's not playing in the NHL next year.
Really?
Yeah, he's done. Okay, anyways, the point is, when I lost that bet, someone did... Canucks Convo sub poll question. Who's a better evaluator of talent, Steve Yzerman or Quads? I was like dying when I saw that. But yeah, Olli Ulevi did get claimed when he got sent down by the Florida Panthers. Detroit Red Wings putting in a flyer on him. Waiver claim, I should have said. And we saw him in Vancouver one game, and he was just, he was atrocious. It was tough to watch. And again, this isn't a crap on the guy because you feel bad for him, right? Because a lot of that is because of the injuries he had over the years, just horrible, horrible injury luck for Olli Ulevi. But yeah, going to be finding himself in the top Finnish league next season, not playing in the NHL as far as we know.
As far as you know, I say he's coming back, baby.
Who's giving him a contract? Who's giving him a contract?
Buffalo Sabres.
Why?
So he can play with...
You just say Buffalo or Arizona as a default because they suck.
Yeah, well, hey.
Okay, in your honest opinion, does the 24-year-old Ulevi have any upside?
In Buffalo, he does. He's going to be Colin Miller's replacement.
I can't remember where I heard this, that Ulevi's going to Finland. I remember reading it, though.
I feel like I told you this one time in passing, that I think that's where he'll be playing next year, and you've just been running with it, because I don't think this is like a real thing. I know I've said this to you like as a joke.
But I swear I saw No, all right, we're not even going to cut this. Whatever. No, just play it out. I'm pretty sure he's playing in Finland. I remember hearing this from someone who would actually know.
With the things about the bets here, when we get to the new studio, which is going to be my place there, I've got a big whiteboard up so we can keep our bets on
the
whiteboard.
Keep track of our bets?
Yeah, because that is a problem here with these with the bets.
Because we forget them.
Yeah, I'd like to make more bets. I'd like to win more, you know, show that I'm a better talent evaluator than Stevie Y.
What? Okay, so he's an RFA this season.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so he's an RFA with arbitration eligibility. He's not going to get much. He could go home and play in Finland. I don't know. I remember hearing this.
Yeah, from me. I was joking.
I don't know.
Maybe he rips it up in the Liga, and those cards I got, those rookie cards, they're worth something one day. I'll be freaking sending those cards over eBay to Finland.
Okay. We don't need to spend more time on Ulevi.
Okay.
I think we've spent enough time over the years.
You know what? Anytime in the off season, you can buy 5 minutes of content. You know, thank you, Ulevi. Thank you, Jim. That's some good stuff right there. What else do we got? I put some stuff. You're still trying to find out. He's not going to Finland, Quads.
I can't see it anywhere. I can't remember where I've heard this.
Get out of there. Let's go. Moving on here. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, we are moving on. Because you brought up Colin Miller, who actually found his name on CanucksArmy.com on Friday, Chris. And the reason was because you wrote an article, three defense partners, short-term defense partners, we might add, because we still maintain that the focus is to acquire a long-term fit for Quinn Hughes, right? Whether that be through a trade, whether that be through drafting. But you need someone in the meantime, because we've kind of talked about how you don't want to come into next year with Luke Shen as plan A, B, and C, correct? So you wrote three defense partners not named John Marino from the Pittsburgh Penguins who could be a fit for Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. Listen, John Marino would be, he's a player that makes a lot of sense to play with Quinn Hughes, right? But how many articles have we seen about John Marino? I mean, Harms wrote three this offseason already. By the way, Harm will be back on the show next week. We've been saving up our money in a piggy bank so we can get an episode of Harmon Dial back on the show. But yeah, I looked at some of the cheaper options, and There's some interesting ones. You had like some very impressive defensive analytics. Hockey Viz has quite a few things that helped kind of evaluate their defensive play. And the one that really stuck out, man, was like was Connor Clifton. Like, he's 5'11", and that, like, already pisses a lot of people off. I've seen people in the comments are like, Clifton 5'11", give me Noah Juulsen instead. Give me Noah Juulsen on the first pairing with Quinn Hughes next year. He's much better. Dude, Clifton was actually, like, so good defensively last year. Was also, like, reliable offensively as well. He's a guy who can take up a lot of space, as Quinn Hughes does such a good job of on his own. So Clifton's an interesting one. I think the Canucks might want to look that way. And then it's like, he's 5'11". Dude, you go right now on Twitter, if you're just listening to this and you're chilling, like, I don't know how you listen to podcasts, if you're, you know, sitting in a chair or playing FIFA or NHL or something, pause the game, unless you're online, do it after the game. But just go on Twitter and search up Clifton Hit. There's so many. Connor Clifton laid a lot of huge hits last year, more physical than people think. Colin Miller was another example. He's a guy you don't even need to trade for. And by the way, Clifton makes $1 million next year. So he's a player that you can trade for and not have very much effect to your salary cap at all. Colin Miller, we know about the bomb, had a 105 mile an hour shot. He's 29 years old, but he's a UFA. And we've dumped on Buffalo quite a bit, but tell you what, if I'm Colin Miller, I am wanting to get as far away from Buffalo as possible. And that might be Vancouver. That makes a lot of sense. And then, like, it would be cool to watch Colin Miller play with Quinn Hughes, because, like, Quinn Hughes does such a good job of just, like, extending offensive possessions, moving the puck around, skating the puck, like walking the line. And then to think that, like, there's always just a one-timer option for Quinn Hughes. Like, once he skates over to the right side and Miller rotates to the left, he has that 105 mile an hour bomb at his disposal every time. Like, that pairing makes a little bit of sense there as well. Then Nick Jensen was one I just threw out, because, like, he has such good defensive numbers for the Washington Capitals. He's 31 years old, so it's like, I don't think he's that much of an upgrade. And, like, Luke Shen's defensive numbers are actually pretty good too. Like, he's top 50 in the NHL for expected goals against per 60. So Luke Shen isn't the worst option either, but these players that I laid out there were kind of just little upgrades to potentially help the Canucks as they move forward, but they still need to find that prospect, right? Like, to me, it's all about finding that right D prospect to play with Hughes. And something I've been talking about on the show for a while is you need to find two players. And I've thought for a while that maybe that was two prospects, but it could be the route of, you know, a 27 to, you know, 26, 27, 28 year old guy who plays for the next couple of years. And then you go on the trade market and you look at, you know, Jack Thompson out of Tampa Bay, Brock Faber out of the LA Kings, Helge Granz out of the LA Kings, Braden Schneider is another example. Here's a low-key one. I don't think I've seen this name thrown around very much. Ethan Sampson out of the Flyers organization. The Flyers are going to do something throughout this draft, like trades up of this draft. If the Canucks can squeeze Ethan Sampson out of the Philadelphia Flyers organization, sneaky little pick there, I'm telling you, for a nice right D prospect. And Scotty Morrow is the last one. But let me say,
former guest of the show.
Yeah. Scotty Morrow. Good kid. So yeah, I think that's what, like, I just looking at it and evaluating a few different times, it's like, they do need two players who can play with Hughes, but one just might be for now and one might be for down the road. And if you can find a player that can bridge you to one of those, you know, young players as they develop into an NHLer, you know, so be it. Good. Go out and get yourself one of these Clifton players for $1 million and make a splash this year to help Quinn Hughes develop his game even more, because there's a lot of development still to go for Quinn Hughes. He's not reached his final form just yet. I think there's a lot more to see, and it's not just about having a guy that can play with Quinn Hughes, but it's about a player that can make Quinn Hughes better. And like, I don't think we've seen that since Chris Tanev. Like, Chris Tanev makes Quinn Hughes better because he's able to be a good secondary passer. He's able to always stay back so that Quinn Hughes has to not worry about anything defensively. He made Quinn Hughes better. And since Tanev left, there's not really been a guy who's made him better. Luke Shen fits. Like, Luke Shen works. Like, it works. It's fine.
But he doesn't elevate Hughes, is exactly what you're saying.
And that's what you want to see, is you want to see a defense partner for Quinn Hughes that can elevate him. I think that comes in a long-term prospect who isn't at that point right now. But we'll see what happens. Like, people are like, well, what about Dante Fabro? It's like, yeah, you think they're going to take Dante Fabro out? He's playing top pairing minutes with Nashville. You're not going to be able to just scoop these players out of nowhere. Like, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be looking at the Nick Jensens and the Connor Cliftons. You're not going to be able to just snag Connor Fabro or Dante Fabro or these top end players who are playing first line minutes on other teams playing with their top defensemen. So I don't know. I think that, I think there's some options out there. There may be some names we haven't really heard about a lot, but in the end, like, the title of the article is like, not John Marino. John Marino is still a very possible player that they could be trading for. It makes a lot of sense to play with Hughes.
Quickly, I want to get this in. Bruce Boudreau finishes 12th in Jack Adams voting. I wrote a little article on Canucks Army this morning, quick opinion piece about how probably should have finished a little higher. Because again, the award is supposed to be to the coach who, you know, got the most out of their team. I think the exact verbiage is a little different than that, but I wrote about, you know, I thought Bruce Boudreau should have got a few more votes. That one is an award voted by the National Hockey League broadcasters. So I know our
I thought you guys voted on
that. TikTok star Brendan Batchelor got a vote on that. I don't know where he voted. I just know that he had a vote. So that was really interesting. But
what
about your girl
Addison Rae? She get a vote there?
What are you talking about, man?
No votes for her.
Does she do NHL stuff?
Yeah, she's a big NHL TikToker, yeah.
Really?
That's what I said. I thought she was getting in there, yeah.
No,
you should know this.
No, she's not a broadcaster. No. Addison Rae, whoever that is, isn't doing play-by-play in color on the broadcast. So
she's done some color.
Has she?
Yeah.
No, she has. You're just messing with me. I don't even know who this is. Just get out of here. You make your crazy jokes. I don't know who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
By definition, Jack Adams Award is awarded annually to the NHL coach, a judge to have contributed the most to his team's success. Any success the Canucks had this year, and I know they came just short of a playoff spot, so that probably hurts them a little bit, but any success they had this year was thanks to Bruce Boudreau directly on the ice, right?
Yep. Where would he have placed on yours, though? Like, does he get top three votes?
No, he doesn't get top three, no. But... Oh, actually, yeah, sorry. So it's first, second, third. I would probably have him, you know, and there was one guy who had him second. I would probably have him third on mine. He had 2 third place votes. I think I would go Daryl Sutter one, and then I would probably go Gerard Gallant two. You know, maybe there's an argument for Todd McClellan as well. Actually, I would probably go McClellan two, and McClellan finished sixth in voting, and then I would go Boudreau third. But some guys who finished ahead of him in overall voting: Sheldon Keefe in Toronto, John Cooper in Tampa, John Hines in Nashville, somebody picked as the best coach in the league, which, okay, whatever you say, Mike Sullivan, Rod Brind'Amour, McClellan, Bednar in Colorado, Dean Evason in Minnesota, Andrew Burnett in Florida, also finishing higher than Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, all those I would have guys. Struggled to have Boudreau in my top three, if I'm being honest, but he might have
snuck in. I think Sutter's the right pick, though,
for number one. I think Sutter's number one in my book, too. I think Bednar, I'm putting him at two, just because how, like, that run of games that they had at home.
They do play very well.
Think about the game, like, I forget, how many games they win? Was it, like, it was almost 30 games in a row they won at home?
But, sorry to cut you off, but my argument here is if you take Jared Bednar off the Colorado Avalanche, they're probably having similar success. Are they not?
But I don't know, man. The thing about like winning at home when you have last change, I think that's a little thing like taking into consideration about a coach is like he's making a difference if you're winning so much more at home.
That's fair.
And listen, they had a good road record too, but they were that good on at home ice. I think that's a part of it anyways that I put Bednar as number two. And then, yeah, like, you know, depending how homerish I was feeling,
that's fair.
I may put Boudreau at three, but he was great. If the Canucks get into the playoffs,
if they make the playoffs, there's a much better conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, I'm in that boat too. Yeah. But I don't think he did enough. And he did a lot. Like I'm not putting down Boudreau what he did as a coach. I think he's great. He's a perfect coach for this team moving forward. But he's not top three from the last year as well. In my eyes,
yeah, you're right.
Some people are gonna be mad.
Some people are gonna be mad. Okay, quickly, Stefan Roger.
What the hell?
You know, I had to bring him up. You know, I had to bring up my boy like I do on every podcast. Wrote an article for Canucks Army about retaining salary on trades, Chris. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about this. I think this is maybe a midweek conversation to have. But you look at what the Canucks would be able to do if they retain salary on any trade. JT Miller at five and a little bit more on a one year left on his contract. That's valuable to a lot of teams. But if you retain 50% on that,
ooh,
that's an asset that not only can almost every team afford, that's something that every team is going to be clamoring to add. Every contender is going to be wanting to add a near 100-point player for $2.6 million. That's like an unprecedented number that you're able to add a player at.
Yeah, but I threw this to Frank Saravalli when he joined us last year on the show, and he said that was like ridiculous that the Canucks would do that. because there's
ownership and everything involved as well. Right. Why would they retain?
And
lot of different things. But
at the time, it was 2 years that they were going to have to retain anyways. But.
Yeah, but now it's 1 year. And also, you know, it would add to the trade value, so maybe you want to get out of a contract. We know the Canucks were actively peddling those contracts at the deadline. The Travis Hamonics, the Jason Dickinsons, the Tucker Pullmans, one that the management group views as maybe not negative value, but contracts that they would like to move. Maybe sure. Inefficient money is the correct word. They were trying to move those guys again, reported by Frank Saravalli.
So I didn't read this Stéphane Roger article.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I saw who wrote it, but tell me what do you say about Tyler Myers is the one I'm interested
that's
in.
That's what I'm getting there.
So well, then what do you said, do with dilly dabbing away here?
What he said is that you can have dilly dabbing away.
Yeah, dilly dabbing away.
That's not a term.
It is now. Yeah, it is.
Okay, anyway.
You get what I was saying when I said it.
I knew what you meant. You're right. Okay, so what he did say is that, you know, if you do retain money on a Miller contract, and this is my main point here, is then all of a sudden you can still get similar value back as if you didn't retain and pair a bad contract with it, right? So if you're... You know, if you're moving a Jason Dickinson and maybe you get a third line center back, right? Maybe all of a sudden you're able to add some more bad money to that trade, and you know, you're freeing up cap space, you're doing all this other stuff that you want to do, you're making your team better, because that's the main thing. Is Patrick Alvin, when he spoke about all this, as he said, like, we don't just want to move cap space for the sake of moving cap space and freeing up cap space. We want to get better at the same time. So it's about what you do with that cap space in turn. And all I'm saying, Chris, is if the Canucks do retain salary, and again, let's not forget, so far Jim Rutherford says that they haven't had to manage up with ownership being involved or anything like that. And, you know, he said at the time when he spoke, which was end of season media, he said Francesco and him go out for lunch maybe once every 2 weeks. That's very different than how things were run when Jim Benning was still the general manager of this team, and we know that's been reported all over the place. But right now, that's something interesting to kind of note. Retaining salary is something that's on the mind right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question right now specifically, like, you know, this is the time where I think Francesco Aquilini wants to prove to his new management group that he's willing to buck up here and pay. And I don't think he's going to be stepping in too much at a certain point. There's a new fresh management group that I think has a lot of high praise around the NHL for what they've kind of assembled here. You know, especially with Jim Rutherford being the guy at the top of that, his prestige is high. You know, speaking of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 coming out, prestige, that's coming up here pretty soon. I think Jim Rutherford has a high prestige around the league. And I think that there is quite an investment, I think, coming in from Aquilini, like, to think that they are going for this practice rink. They are wanting to make Abbotsford be one of the best teams in the league. They would be willing to eat money if they have to at a certain point. But yeah, I think that could really help the Canucks with some sort of flexibility. And I think that's a lot of thing that fans have been clamoring for, is to do some out of the box thinking, do some things that we never saw happen under Jim Benning in his 8 years of, you know, utilizing the salary cap and weaponizing it to
certain directions. You can weaponize it in this year, right? Like, people aren't thinking about that, but that's weaponizing cap space.
Yep, exactly. And even if you're eating it like a certain way, you're weaponizing that little bit to kind of maybe get more picks in the trade or whatever it is. Like, there's a lot of options for sure. And I think, you know, that's what I'd like to see the Canucks do anyways. It's like, listen, they may end up taking a step back this year, but I feel like if you're taking a step back, it's almost like you're hopping into a slingshot, where if you are taking a step back this year, you're already at a point where it's not like you're falling back. Like, you're taking a step back, but it is like you're jumping into a slingshot, because you're getting multiple steps forward in the right direction with this new management group. A step back isn't the worst thing this year, I don't think, for the Canucks. No. And it might be something that we see if that's the direction that they want to go. Specifically, like, you know, we joked about it earlier, but if they're able to, like, pull off a thing where they do move up and draft a really high-end prospect, you know, in the top three, then it feels like a step back is going to happen. But it is a huge boost coming down the road if they do take a step back there, because it's not like they need to. They don't need to take a step back this year. They can try and just build and build, but you just need to balance out, you know, 3 years from now, what's better for the organization.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that'll be something we'll see this offseason for sure.
Do you have any prospect report for us today?
Yeah, I got some players I think are rising and falling. Go ahead and you throw the outline.
I flipped
over
it upside down. My
couple
bad.
Names I want to mention: Sam Rinzell, who some people were pegging pretty high, like in the middle of the first round for a little bit. He was a guy who jumped up quite a bit. Just sounds like he's dropping a little bit. The finish to the season for him when he made the jump from high school hockey to USHL didn't really go as great as a lot of people were hoping for. So his play in the USHL has dropped him down a little bit. He's still probably a first rounder, but he might be a guy who slides in the second round if the Canucks end up adding an early second round pick. That's your guy right there. That's your right D that you missed out on when Scotty Morrow went one pick right before Danilo Klimovich. So Sam Rinzell, keep an eye on him. 6'4", right shot defenseman. He's falling. Leanne Bichelle, he's the big boy. Quadzy's the, you know, they asked him what animal he was. He said Godzilla. I don't know. I don't know that for sure. But he is a monster. He's like 6'5", 6'6". From what I've heard is that he has impressed a lot of people over the last little bit here with his size and strength away from the rink. Bishcell is excellent. I really like him. I like him for the Canucks to draft. I like him a lot from what he's done in the SHL. To be that big and move that well, like I said, there's a lot to like about his game. And then Marco Kasper, man, I was thinking the Canucks are going to be able to trade down and draft this kid. People are starting to see the playoff tape now. And like, this is what I was watching when I was talking about Kasper a couple weeks ago before we had him on the show, was like, he played so well in the playoffs that he needed to be a mid-round, like a mid-first-round pick. And I think that some people might have just been catching up on that over the past couple of weeks here. But they're starting to see how good he actually played in the SHL playoffs. I think he's rising quite a bit as well. So just some rising and dropping first-round picks, I think I just wanted to mention real quick there. As long as you're okay with that. Might do some of that as we get closer to the draft here. But Kasper, you might just end up being the best player available at 15 for the Canucks, and a lot more people are starting to think he's going to be a center next year with Rögle as well, which is huge. Like he was 17 years old this year playing the wing.
Yeah.
I talked to his coach. His coach wants him to play center. He wants to play center, so we might see that even as soon as next year in the SHL. And I've said it a lot. I don't think Kasper's playing any more than one more year in the SHL. Mm-hmm. I think he's coming right over after that.
You talk about Slavkovsky, the Canucks asking if he could play center. You have to imagine they're asking similar questions to Marco Kasper.
I'm going
to
guess that they spent a lot of time with Marco Kasper. He's right around that range for the Canucks. Mm.
Okay, we'll close it out there.
Good.
For my co-host, Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.